Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Overseas Travel here at Car Talk Plaza. And my brother, I'm sure, has something interesting.
Yeah, well, I have here a little,
offensive.
The internet is great because you can get this up-to-date information. Tips for Americans traveling in France. The following advisory. Advisory for American travelers heading for France was compiled from information provided by the U.S. State Department, the Central Intelligence Agency, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the Food and Drug Administration, the Centers for Disease Control, and some very expensive spy satellites that the French don't know we have. It is intended as a guide for American travelers only. A general overview. France is a medium-sized foreign country situated in the continent of Europe. It is an important member of the world community, though not nearly as important as it thinks it is. It is bounded by Germany, Spain, Switzerland, and some smaller nations of no particular consequence and with not very good shopping. France is a very old country with many treasures such as the Louvre and Euro Disney. Among its contributions to Western civilization are champagne, camembert cheese, and the guillotine. Although France likes to think of itself as a modern nation, air conditioning is little used and it is next to impossible to get decent Mexican food. One continuing exasperation of American visitors is that the people willfully persist in speaking French, though many will speak English if you shout at them. There are a couple other tips here. France has more holidays than any other nation in the world. Among its 361 national holidays are 197 Saints' Days, 37 National Liberation Days, 16 Declaration of Republic Days, 54 Return of Charles de Gaulle in Triumph as if he won the war single-handedly Days, 18 Napoleon Sent into Exile Days, and 17 Napoleon Called Back from Exile Days, and 112 France is Great and the Rest of the World Stinks Days. That's good. I mean, the CIA, the Department of State, it is summer. People are going to be traveling, and they should know stuff like this. And it's our job to help them to know.
Well, I thank you for that public service announcement.
Thank you, all
of America.
Quite all right. It's my pleasure.
If you want to talk to us about France or anything else, or the fact that none of my wife's relatives will be speaking to me anymore after this.
They don't speak to you now.
That's right.
That's true.
You can call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Aaron.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Bonjour to you too.
This is Aaron from San Francisco.
Aaron,
how you doing?
What's up?
I think my car is haunted.
Yeah? Uh-huh.
It's a 1988 Celica convertible.
Mm.
And whenever I hit the brakes, it does one of two things, and there's seemingly no logic for when it does one or the other. Either it makes your traditional squeak, or it makes this deep, mysterious laughing sound, something like this. Oh,
sounds like a Frenchman laughing. Sounds like Maurice Chevalier.
It's just like that.
Really, and of course you haven't had anyone look at it. You've been waiting to talk to us because
I'm terrified to take it in. They're going to tell me it needs like a whole new axle or a whole new who knows what.
And does this happen when you're stopping from high speed or low speed or in between speed or all speeds?
The laughing is a low speed phenomenon.
It does it both, but it's faster if you're stopping from a greater speed.
Sure,
the laughter.
So the laughing is
right.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that when you are stopping or slowing from high speed, that the laughter is in sync with a pulsation of your brake pedal?
No. In fact, there was new brakes were done on it about a year ago.
A year?
Well, I think that you have a warped disc. And that would, I don't know, the squeaking, and brakes can squeak for no reason.
And you think you should see a chiropractor for this?
Yes, a few adjustments I think ought to do it. No, I think the laughing noise is coming from the fact that when that warp is coming around, it's pushing against the caliper and making the thing move in a manner that it's not supposed to and making the noise. And it's nothing much to worry about except that it would be nice to fix it.
So it can't cause an accident?
Well, it might be. I mean, you could have a wheel bearing going or some such thing, or maybe your wheel is falling off, or maybe your wheel nuts are loose. Maybe a tire is ready to pass you on the highway. You might want to get it someplace and have them put a dial indicator on it, but that should tell them what's going on. Good luck, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Silly of us.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Mabel from Aspen, Colorado.
That's a seldom heard name, Mabel.
Seldom heard. Very Victorian.
Victorian? Really?
Yeah, it's kind of gone now. People don't use
it. I don't equate that with Victorian. I equate Mabel with more like a diner.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Mabel, can I have some hash with them eggs or what? I mean,
well, but a Victorian diner.
Yes.
Victorian diner, there you are.
Well-appointed diner. Anyway, yeah. So where are you from, Mabel?
Aspen.
From Aspen in Colorado.
Oh, how charming.
What's
Very
up?
Very charming.
What can we do for you? What do you want to talk about today?
Well, it's my Subaru.
Yeah.
My 82 Subaru.
82?
With 181,000 miles. And she went in for one of those short checks, and she came out with this. My guy said that both valve cover gaskets are seeping.
That's good.
And the head gaskets are leaking.
Oh, sure.
The CV boots are cracking but not ripped yet.
Okay.
And they suggested that by fall I get these repaired. My question is, should I just go for a whole new motor, a whole...
No!
No! Mabel, let's not be alarmist here.
Oh!
No, relax, will you?
This is something easy?
Well, it isn't easy unless you got about $700 with you. But it's not the end of the world either.
Now,
I
might want to fix the valve covers. Those are relatively cheap.
Yeah.
You're not going to fix the head gasket?
No. Under no circumstances touch the head gasket.
Why?
Well, because I think, first of all, that most of the leak is probably coming from one of two places. Either the valve cover gaskets or the camshaft seals, and he may have even overlooked that.
Ah.
So he may be erroneously, he may have erroneously concluded that the leak is coming from the head gaskets when, in fact, it may be coming from the camshaft seals, which leak all the time on these things.
Okay.
Oh, he didn't actually determine that the head gasket is bad. He just said that there's an oil leak.
Well, what I took it in for was this constant oil leak, which he's had for, God, 5 or 10 years, drip, drip. And then it got really bad.
Oh.
And they replaced the leaking rear differential pinion seal.
Okay.
And the R&R oil pump and reseal and replace front main seal.
Okay, so they may have done the cam seals at that same time.
So
So now you have a leak that's considerably diminished.
Yes, it's greatly diminished.
Oh. Can you live
but
with?
They
can,
said,
can you live
to
with
keep
it?
Her running. That I needed to do these gasket things.
Well, I may want to do the gaskets.
I agree with my brother completely.
But
do the valve cover gaskets. That's
but not
it.
The head gasket.
No.
Okay.
No,
I
because
agree.
You have two head gaskets. Because you have two cylinder heads on this thing.
Yeah.
And you're gonna if you do one, you're gonna do the other one.
Uh-huh.
So you're looking at $1,000.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they said
out
700.
Of the question.
So that's why I was thinking a new engine cost $2,000. Why not just go?
No, you don't need anything. You need a $50 worth of valve cover gaskets.
Oh.
And you'll be all set.
Do the valve cover gaskets first.
And see how it goes.
They're probably like $75.
Yeah.
See how much the leak is diminished. And the worst case scenario is it leaks a little bit, but it's got 180,000 miles on it. What do we expect here?
Right, what do I expect?
Yeah, I mean, sure. And if it does leak a little bit, forget about it.
Yeah. What are you worried about, dirtying the snow in Aspen?
Just put the cardboard underneath there, huh?
Yeah, that's sure.
Have the cat sleep under there. I don't know.
And then hose down the cat.
Yeah.
Right.
Good luck, Mabel.
Thanks very much.
See you.
Talk to you. Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Steve. I live outside Rochester, New York.
Rochester. Yeah.
And I ran into your aunt the other day. I wanted to know, is testadura really translated click and clack?
Testadura?
Testadura. Head like a rock?
Yeah, testadura, yeah.
Put a 10 in.
Yeah. Hard head.
I tell you, I got this. This is an adult show, right? Because I got an adult situation here.
We hope it's a family show, Steve, so don't get too carried away. You know what I mean?
Okay.
All right.
I went hunting with my wife the other day.
Hunting?
And, yeah, my sainted wife. she is a crack shot.
Yeah.
And she knocked down three or four pheasants. And we got into my Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra, and she gave me a big kiss. And as we leaned back in the driver's seat, my driver's seat reclined in a way that most seats adjust.
Yeah.
I then looked around, and I couldn't find a lever to make the driver's seat come back up.
Oh.
So I looked in the manual, since I stuffed it in the glove box on the day I bought the car in
8 years ago.
And sure enough, it didn't say anything about reclining or bringing up the driver's seat back.
So the seat back just reclined.
Right. So then I drove home, kind of leaning forward on the wheel. And I got to the phone, and I called Oldsmobile. And I said to Oldsmobile, I said, how do I get the driver's seat to come back up? And this very nice, well-educated, snobby girl on the other end of the line read me the owner's manual, and then we read the paragraphs together, kind of in sync, like church, you know.
Yeah, how nice.
And didn't say anything about it, so I took it to the Olds dealer.
Uh-huh.
And he says to me, the guy in the repair shop, you got $25 in cash? I said, sure. I gave him $25 in cash. He said, go out and look at the cars, come back, I'll have this done for you.
Hmm.
Now, I want to tell you, I went out and I looked at the cars, 12.3 seconds, I timed it. And I came back, and my driver's side seat is fully up adjusted.
Really?
And I'll be damned, I don't know if I should buy this guy a plaque, because he's the brightest guy in the world, or I should punch him in the nose, because he cheated me.
Because he cheated you out of $25.
So can you tell me?
Well, I mean, you've never adjusted the seat back in all the years that you've owned this car?
There's no adjustment that I can find to adjust it.
What year Sierra is this?
1987. Old Cutlass Sierra, and it's the mini wagon version.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And it has a bench seat in the front.
That's right.
It doesn't have a bench seat. It has a split bench.
Split bench.
Yeah, and there's that little thing you rest your elbow on in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the gangster thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whatever. There was some way to do it that he knew and you didn't.
Got that right.
And I don't think you should feel cheated, because he did do it for a price that you thought was fair. After all, you had spent a lot of time making phone calls, talking to the nice lady about the owner's manual, driving around. And I think it's fair.
I mean, when the seat went back that day that your wife planted that smooch on you.
Yeah.
Did it sound like it broke? Did it make a ratcheting sound?
It clicked loudly.
Well, I'll tell you a similar situation. Many years ago, when I used to actually fix cars, when I had a brain and I couldn't move around.
Before the fumes got to me.
A guy came into the shop with a pickup truck. And he said, I'm going nuts. He said, I did a tune-up on my truck, and I can't get it to run right. So he happened to open the hood, and being awake at the time, I could see immediately what he had done wrong. And I said to him, what's it worth to you for us to fix it? He said, $50. I mean, this guy had spent days trying to fix it. Well, it turned out that what I saw was that he had swapped two spark plug wires. So the 3 and 4 were wrong.
Uh-huh.
So he says, do it for $50. I reach in, and I pull off the two wires, and I stick them on the other way, and I put out my hand for the $50. He says, I'm not going to pay you $50. I said, wait a minute. You just told me that you're going crazy. You'd do anything to get it fixed. I said, what does it matter that I actually knew and could do it in 2 seconds? He says, it's not fair.
Well, see, you didn't send the guy away.
So, I laid a beating on him.
Steve's guy had the presence of mind to send him away.
He did. He sent you away. I thought, that's what I should have done.
You mean this is going to cost me $25 every time I get hit
no.
by my wife?
I think you're going to have to pay him $25 more right now.
Right
to
now
show you what he did.
And find out what he did, yeah.
All right.
But it does bring up an interesting philosophical question, doesn't it? Is it worth $25 to do something that you can't do? The answer is sure.
Sure it is.
And I think probably it all has to do with self-esteem. The fact that in 12.3 seconds, this guy could do something that you, the owner of the car,
couldn't do in four
for
days.
11 years, couldn't do in 4 days.
I even read the manual. I mean, that's sinking to the depths of depravity here.
Yeah, I mean, no one should have to do that. It's yeah, that's too bad. Well, Steve, I don't know.
I suspect what happened is one of the bolts fell out of the back of the seat, and he reached up there and put it back in and adjusted the seat.
All right, well, I'll call him and I'll call you back.
Yeah, let us know what he did.
Okay.
See you, Steve.
And ask him what he did with the $25.
All right.
He probably bought a Powerball ticket and won $55 million.
Now, that would make the philosophical question even more interesting, wouldn't it? Should he split the money with you?
Of course not. You're a loser, Steve.
It only depends if he got it on the cap of a Pepsi can.
See you later.
And thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Okay, Tommy, I think it's time we take a little break so we can regroup.
Let me get this. By regroup, you mean we put our heads together, we think of new ways to solve people's car problems?
No, I mean literally regroup. I'm going into the other room with the Bugsy and the Berman group to get away from you.
Fine, fine. We'll be back in just a minute.
We can go to Nebraska for some baked Alaska. We can go to Paris, France to buy some underpants. We can go to Aruba just to buy a tuba. I'll be sleeping in the car. We can go fast, or we can go slow, or we can go anywhere you want to go. I'll be comfy in the backseat. I won't even.
And even though Ben and Jerry pelt their radios with peace pops whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and I believe my brother has something he wants to talk about.
Well, you
Tommy,
might remember,
the floor is yours.
Remember years ago, we got a call from some poor guy whose elderly father wanted to drive across the country like a six-week trip, and the caller and his brother got talked into going with him?
I remember it well.
I mean, does that sound like hell or what? I mean, if that was our family, only one of us would make it back alive, and probably he would be in critical condition, right? Anyway, it gave us this idea. We would like to collect the worst stories of driving vacations, or road trips that went wrong, like the time your radiator blew out in Death Valley or your VW Squareback burst into flames on Route 66, and your college girlfriend dumped you on the spot, and your windshield wipers aren't working anymore. The time you picked up those funny-smelling hitchhikers and then you ended up in a Mexican jail. But if you have a story about a road trip gone awry, it doesn't have to be a vacation. Any kind of road trip.
Anything where you were in the car and some catastrophe.
Yeah. Go to our website, cartalk.com. You'll see the Highway to Hell section right on the homepage. We'll post the most amusing stories when we get enough of them and read the best one here on the show. That's what I'm asking.
Is that all the winner gets? A lousy reading on the show?
It's not a winner. It's a guy or a woman who has gone through some horrible trauma, and we're simply going to acknowledge on public radio.
And make that person relive it.
Make that person relive and suffer all that pain all over again. And you should get a prize for that.
Okay. Anyway, if you have a question about your car or anything else, you know, or if you can't wait to participate and you want to tell your story right now, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Harmony from Portland, Oregon.
Harmony.
Harmony.
Does your demeanor fit your name?
Well, I think it does depend on who you ask. I like to say so.
Your last name is not Brown.
No.
You know the song "Hair Golden Yellow" for some lucky fellow who marries sweet Harmony Brown.
No, that's what I haven't heard. People do like to sing to me. They
man.
Like to sing "Ebony and Ivory" to me.
Oh, but Harmony Brown was the greatest Harmony song
from when my
ever.
Brother was.
It was
a wee lad. You'll have to go.
I was a wee lad. In fact, it was the Four Lads.
No.
It could well have been.
No.
I think it was. The Four Lads.
All right. I'll check it out.
All right. Well, we'll endeavor to find a recording as well. I think it predates the... It's a barbershop type song, isn't
Absolutely
it?
Absolutely not. Sweet no? Harmony Brown.
All right.
Well, I'm getting almost more than I expected with the musical advice.
Where are you from, Harmony?
I'm from Portland, Oregon.
You probably mentioned that twice already, but...
Neither one of us was listening.
I'm writing it down this time.
We were too busy running our mouths.
Singing songs. No, that's great.
All right.
What's up, Harmony?
Well, I'm actually hoping to be absolved by you after a certain event occurred.
We can't promise anything.
Oh, man.
Well, unless you pay us.
Okay. Go ahead.
So what was happening is I had my sister's car, which is a 1990 Acura Integra Coupe, and I had my one-year-old niece in the back. And she was getting really unhappy in her car seat and just complaining a lot. And so when I got to a red light behind another car, I put my foot on the brake and I turned around to try to soothe her a little bit. And I hit the car in front of me. And my thought at the time was, my foot is on the brake. I was pressing my foot on the brake. Let me repeat that. I was pressing my foot on the brake.
Is this for our benefit or your sister's benefit?
Well, I'm wondering what was going on. Because, all right, I hit the car. They took it very, very seriously. It was compounded by the fact that this bumper that I hit had a really massive dent in it. I say, already. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
But when you stopped, you were like a couple of feet away from the car?
Yeah, I'd say so. Maybe three.
And you turned around with your right foot on the brake.
Mm-hmm.
Pressing firmly on the brake.
Mm-hmm. It did not shift.
And what did you do with the little child in the back seat after giving her a couple of dope slaps?
I cooed at her. I touched her hair. She didn't quiet down at all.
Yeah.
And then I hit another car.
Well, I can guarantee you, Harmony.
They're trying to flim-flam you.
That you were wrong.
Really?
Oh, it's well, absolutely true.
Oh, I think the dent was already there.
Oh, no, the dent was already there.
Oh, but I know the dent was already there.
No, we know that you hit the car.
Right.
And you're trying to blame your sister's car for failure to stay stopped with your foot firmly implanted.
Is that the nature of the question? How could the brakes fail?
Well, here's the thing. Let me tell you the rest of it. After I'm going home,
we don't want to hear the rest of it.
No, you have the witness stand now. Go ahead.
All right, so I'm driving home that day trying to figure out what the heck happened with this car. And so I went off into some back streets, and I would bring the car a little distance and then stop it and let it sit there for a moment. And what I noticed is when I had my foot firmly pressed on the pedal would all of a sudden
sink.
Start going down even
yes.
farther on
yes.
its own.
Well, here's what you have to do. I'm in your camp now.
No.
I am. I tell you. What's wrong with your sister's car? You're going to have to sue her. is that her master cylinder has begun to fail.
Oh,
and
really?
That is a classic symptom of incipient master cylinder failure, that you'll sit there with adequate pressure on the brake pedal and your foot hasn't exerted any more pressure or any less pressure,
mm-hmm.
and the pedal will begin to sink. And, of course, as it does... The pressure that ultimately gets to the wheels to keep the car from moving drops. And what happens? The car moves.
Okay.
And when it moves...
Oh, Gus!
And if it moves...
I'm liking that, though, because I'll tell you, when I was experimenting with it, I would keep my foot in the same position that would have it holding still, and then it would just start creeping along on its own.
I repeat, bull old Gus. I will bet $20... that there is nothing wrong with this woman's master cylinder. Although my brother's description of the failure of the master cylinder is perfectly accurate, I will defy you to sit in a car with your foot on the brake and turn around to appease a child in the back seat without having your foot come off that pedal. And you know, part of it is you're distracted. Your foot is not, your mind is not on your foot. Your mind is on the kid.
Did I mention I was on a cell phone? People have had that theory, and I have dismissed them as much as I'm inclined to dismiss this, because my sister told me she's noticed this happening at other times before she had a baby.
I know the master cylinder is no good.
All right.
And I'm going to recommend that you go and have it replaced.
Okay.
And when you do, you will notice that this condition... has disappeared.
Wonderful.
And then you can call. Then you can call us, and you can be on Stump the Chumps, and you can say to Tommy, nye, nye, nye. I think that's what it is.
Sure.
Yeah. And your foot probably did slip off the pedal a little bit. I think the combination of the two things is what caused this unfortunate.
Okay, as long as that's not your primary theory, I'll give you that.
Yeah, no. See you, Harmony.
All right, thank you very
much. Good luck. Bye. We'll never hear from her again. 1-888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Bob from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Fort Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Fort Wayne, where they make transmissions and they make...
Well, back in the old days, they used to make pistons.
That's right.
Yeah. What do you do?
I'm a lawyer.
Okay. We're going to talk to you anyway, Bob. We're going to give you the,
benefit,
give
of
you the benefit of the doubt. Until you say something wrong, and then we're going to hang up.
You need to be kind.
We're being kind.
Well, I don't have a problem, but I've got a scientific question.
Well, we are schooled in science.
Right.
And we are world experts in cosmology. I mean, you name it.
Okay. Cosmetology.
Cosmetology. I'm good at that. Okay, so
okay.
What's up?
Well, I was recently in a friend's late model vehicle. We drove into a parking garage, and I noticed darkness. And this is a vehicle that has running lights.
Daytime running lights. Yeah.
Right,
daytime
DRLs,
running lights.
We call them.
And he told me that he had disabled the running lights because it decreases the gas mileage at least a mile a gallon.
Oh, so he has DDRLs.
No.
Disabled daytime
running lights.
Is there any truth to that?
Yes. Yes, there is.
Okay.
My son.
Oh, yes.
Whether
sure.
I think his number is not correct.
Well, it depends. What's the vehicle?
Volkswagen Passat.
A Volkswagen Passat.
He thinks it takes away a mile per gallon.
I mean, it just, you know... I've driven for a long time, and I've never really noticed the difference between my mileage during the day and my mileage at night.
Well, you see, theoretically, he is correct that, in fact, there is a decrease in miles per gallon, because if not, you would be getting the electricity for free.
Okay.
If that were the case, we wouldn't have to build nuclear power plants. We wouldn't just take all the electricity left over in cars, and we could run everything in the world.
So there's some drain.
Of course.
What
makes the electricity is the alternator.
Right.
And when you ask it to make electricity, it makes it, but at what cost? It means it uses up energy from the engine.
I see.
I think his number is not correct.
Well, let's say, for example, your daytime running lights might draw, say, 15 amps, which let's round off to 12 volts. Let's say that's a couple of hundred watts, and 750 watts is a horsepower. So you're looking at maybe a quarter
of a horse. Which quarter would that be? Like the rear hind quarter?
The part near the tail.
The horse's butt.
So it's a quarter of a horsepower, and I don't think sucking off a quarter of a horsepower is that enough to cut 5% off your mileage.
No, that's why I said his number is way too big. He would be hard-pressed, even if he was calculating his gas mileage daytime and nighttime, as you said. You've never noticed a difference. I would guess that he wouldn't be able to notice the difference either.
I think he's fallen victim to the additive syndrome.
Oh, this is a theory that you're going to come up with.
Well, here's the theory.
Go ahead.
The theory is that everyone who adds an additive to his gas tank or his oil, expecting improved mileage or this or that, also unconsciously alters his driving habits so that the expectation that you're going to get 10% better mileage is fulfilled not by the product, but by the fact that you have changed the way you drive the car. So it may be that if
it's the additive placebo syndrome.
Exactly.
Oh, I can see the
APS.
Scientific journals now.
Yeah, no.
Clamoring for us to write. Clamoring, I tell you.
But I think he's probably succumbed to that more than anything, that he wants the mileage to be improved by 5%.
Yeah,
verify his theory.
Yeah, I would say that we're dealing with tenths of a mile per gallon or even less than that.
Okay.
Cool.
And
you don't even have to sue us, Bob.
Right.
See you, man.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thanks for your call.
All right. Bye now.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jeannie from Frankfort, Michigan.
Frankfort, Michigan. Did you know Frankfort was the capital of Michigan?
No.
At one time.
How about Kentucky?
Yeah.
At one time it was, but we won't go there.
What's up?
We had a 2001 Dodge Caravan that went up in flames. Whoa. And we're wondering what we really should have done when the car caught fire. You know, do you take your track shoes and run or roast marshmallows? But more seriously, you know, should we have opened the hood or would the air just have fed the fire? And made
Boy, I am a firm believer in run like hell.
Okay.
Because, first of all, I think there's almost nothing you can do about it. What are you going to do? You open the hood and you see that something's on fire. Or you look in the back seat and something's on fire. What are you going to do about it?
No, and
then you're going to run.
The only time you shouldn't run like hell is if you don't have insurance. Because if you do, I mean, whose car are you trying to save? You're trying to save a multi-billion dollar corporation? A couple of $1,000?
Okay.
Burn it up.
You should
if
take
they were
all
that concerned,
people and pets out first.
They'd be following you around, making
with,
sure.
With fire extinguishers.
Exactly. They're not concerned, so why should you be? Oh, no, I would get people and pets out and run like hell.
Okay.
Yeah. And never try to put a fire out, because you never, ever, ever know.
And as I recall, we once gave this advice in a newspaper column question, and we got a lot of email from people who were, I don't know what you call these guys, firemen?
Might be a good guess.
They had a longer, more impressive title, like Highway Rescue, whatever. And they said that was absolutely the right advice to give.
Okay.
Because of the very reason that you're just going to get yourself into trouble, you're going to get hurt, and let the fire trucks take care of it if they want to. And if they don't, you'll be drinking coffee down the street.
Yeah, to give you some idea, that's why they don't show up for about 20 minutes. Because when you call it a car fire... Yeah, let me see. It's the ninth inning. We should be there.
We ought to be there in 15,
yeah.
20 minutes.
Is everyone all right? Yeah, no one hurt? Okay, we'll be right along. Yeah. Then they have another cup of coffee. They watch the end of the baseball game.
Well,
because they
figure if it's going to blow up, let it blow up before they get there.
Bingo.
They'll have less to do.
And you should get yourself far, far away.
Were you driving along when this happened?
We had pulled over to the side of the road, and all of a sudden, we thought it was steam at first from the radiator, and,
yeah.
You know, new car, and thought, oh, and then all of a sudden, black billowing smoke came up, and but then just, you know, real quickly, we had flames.
How many miles were on this thing?
14,000.
And was a cause of the fire ever determined?
Well, yeah, the fire inspectors came, and all they could determine was that it was an electrical fire. Something about because it had melted down to some core. I'm not sure what they said.
Yeah.
Oh, the reactor core. It was out of the carbon rods. Jeez.
Really? Well, did you tell Chrysler about this little incident?
Well, we did, and the insurance and Chrysler, I guess, are talking. I don't know what really will happen.
I'm just wondering, I mean, if this is a one-time occurrence, or if other people with 2001 caravans have had similar...
Well, you should report it to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, because
there
may be other people whose caravans have caught fire, and they'd like to know this.
And you can do that by going to cartalk.com and put...
And while you're there, you can buy some hats and sweatshirts, and whatever. I mean, not that we're trying to hawk the stuff or anything, but, you know, I mean, we probably even sell fire extinguishers, too.
If we don't, we should.
We don't mean to make light of it, obviously, but we can make light of it because you lived.
You were pretty lucky.
We were very lucky.
Good for you.
Okay,
I'm happy for you.
Thank you so much for answering my question.
All right,
and
Jeannie.
Thanks for bringing it to our attention.
Okay.
See ya. Okay, look, it's time for us to take a little break.
Just how little? I mean, do I have time to write personalized thank you notes to each and every one of our loyal listeners? That kind of a break?
Ashley, there's no rush. They're both doing life.
Stay tuned. I have great mail when we come back in just a minute.
Hours I've rolled.
And even though text messages select NPR and then type ENUF whenever we say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and I believe my brother has some mail to read.
Actually, I think I'm going to start a series of this. You know, like you have the string series for the puzzler.
Yeah.
Others, whatever they are.
Yeah, the bogus.
Oh, bogus series. I think I'm going to start with the puns.
Really?
Puns.
Okay.
I mean, I'll give you a smattering of them today.
Are these going to be painful?
Yes, they are going to be. I'll give you just a couple of quick ones. A doctor made it his regular habit to stop off at a bar for a hazelnut daiquiri on his way home. The bartender knew of his habit and would always have the drink waiting at precisely 5:03 p.m. One afternoon, as the end of the workday approached, the bartender was dismayed to find that he was out of hazelnut extract. Thinking quickly, he threw together a daiquiri made with hickory nuts and set it up on the bar. The doctor comes in at his regular time. He took one sip of the drink and said, "This isn't a hazelnut daiquiri." Ready now?
Yeah.
"No, I'm sorry," replied the bartender. "It's a hickory daiquiri, Doc." Isn't that awful? You think that's bad? Listen to this.
Check that one off so you never read. Make sure you never read that
All right.
one again.
How's this?
Put a big X through it. Put an X through it now.
Guy goes into a restaurant for a Christmas breakfast while in his hometown for the holidays. After
it's a hickory daiquiri.
That's nothing. They get much worse.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
After looking over the menu, he says, "I'll just have the Eggs Benedict." His order comes a while later, and it's served on a huge, fancy chrome plate. He asks the waiter, "What's with the fancy plate?" The waiter says, don't forget, this guy's home for Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
"There's no plate like chrome for the hollandaise." All right, I'll just give you one more quick one, and then we'll continue this forever.
These are of the same ilk of 'twas the beer that made Milt Famy
Walkus. we'll use that one too.
I'm sure it's in there.
Two Adams are walking down the street, and they run into each other. One says to the other, "Are you all right?" The other one says, "No, I lost an electron." First one says, "Are you sure?" And the other one says, "Yes, I'm positive."
Can we take a call now?
No, I got this one more shot. One, you ready? What do you get when you toss a hand grenade into a kitchen in France? Linoleum blown apart. All right, I'll give you. I know you want to hear more, but we'll have to wait until next week.
Oh no, we'll do 10 or 15 a week from that one, as long as you cross off the ones.
I did.
Let me see.
I checked them off. Look at the little check mark there. See,
that's
check.
Not good enough.
Check. I mean, I put a big mark through it.
Right through it.
Don't
man.
Ever even think about this again. Okay, one, two. I got some beauties for next time. You're going to...
You may be wondering right now, why do we allow this? Or well, more importantly, where is the puzzler? Because this is usually the time of the show when we introduce the new puzzler. And I'm sure my brother himself was wondering.
I was. Where is it? I said, where is it?
Well, yeah. I did get this postcard, Puerto Vallarta. It says...
No kidding.
"What gets baked in the sun all day is filled with margaritas at night and couldn't care less about your stupid radio show." Answer? Yours truly, the puzzler.
Yeah, I can believe that. But if you need a fix while the puzzler is away or drying out, you can play a classic puzzler anytime on our website, cartalk.com.
In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, you can give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Jessica from Maplewood, New Jersey.
Hi, Jessica.
Jessica.
We need some car buying advice.
Sure.
Who's we?
Send us the money.
My husband and I.
Oh, your husband and you? Okay.
Yeah, we just bought a sweet little cabin and some property on Mosquito Island off the coast of British Columbia.
Oh, Mosquito Island. I know that.
Mosquito.
Oh, not with an M, with an L?
With an L, like Larry.
Oh.
Isn't that, like, cold?
No, actually, the Gulf Islands have, like, this really mild Mediterranean climate.
Wait a minute. Wait. Maybe I know I didn't do well in school, but isn't this, like, on the other side of the continent?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're this is on the far...
How are you going to get to this island?
That's why she's calling us.
That's a long story. It's not easy, and that's part of why we're calling you for some advice.
Your plan is to get in your car once in a while, drive 3,000 to 4,000 miles, hop on a ferry. And...
Well, see, that's the thing.
Yeah.
The people on Mosquito don't want a car ferry. They don't have a car ferry.
Ah. Oh, so they want...
So when you get there, you got to barge your car on, and that means you pretty much got to leave it there.
Okay, so you want to have a car that's going to stay on Mosquito Island.
Mosquito,
and forever.
One other complication. Mosquito has deliberately stayed off the electrical grid.
How did you find this vacation paradise? No, my asking. So no electricity.
No electricity.
Well, you know, people have solar panels, windmills, you know.
They had those in the 17th century, too. And so
How many people live on this island?
350 people year-round.
Is any of them an automobile mechanic?
Yes. Lots of mechanics. Just no, you know, conventional car repair shops.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So a lot of people. So you'll know Norm, for example, will be the guy to whom you go when either your toilet doesn't work or your Chevy doesn't work.
You understand this place.
Yeah, right. I can see it now.
Oh, no. And there's something very wonderful about that kind of a little town.
Yeah.
And it never snows there.
You know, not that much, not nearly as much as New Jersey.
And you're not ever going to be there when it snows.
Well, we want to be there someday. We're going to be there full time. But for now, it's just summers.
Okay, and so your question is, what kind of car should you bring there?
Yeah.
You're going to bring it once, and it's going to stay there.
Right.
This is a tough question.
Now, I'm guessing it's got to be pre-computerized stuff, right?
Well, not necessarily, but you're not that far away from the rest of the world that you couldn't get a computer if you needed one. And don't forget, if you're living in a place like this, you can't be... You're not commuting to work every day. If you went 5 days without your car, it wouldn't be the end of the world because you'll know the other 345 inhabitants, and one of them will give you a ride.
Oh, yeah. Everybody gives everybody a ride. But, you know, you do have to, you know, ferry stuff, you know, back and forth.
Well, the first thing I'd recommend is that the next time you go there, or even before you go there, you might want to just do a little survey and find out what the other people on the island own, and most importantly, what Norm feels comfortable fixing. Because if you bring over an Audi A4 and Norm doesn't know how to fix Audi A4s, that's going to be the wrong car to have there.
Right.
You know, so you got to find out what he's comfortable working on. And if he says, look, I love Toyotas.
Right.
Or I love Chevrolets, then that's going to be the car for you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that will be the biggest determinant. And what you have is actually of little importance. You could be just as happy driving around in a Chevy pickup truck, I would imagine.
Right.
As you would a Toyota Corolla.
Sure.
Are they have paved roads?
They're dirt roads, but they're well-maintained. It's not like you need a four-wheel drive or anything.
Do they still practice cannibalism on the island, or has that been outlawed? So life in New Jersey has been that tough that you find this is the escape that you need, huh?
Yeah. You know, when my husband and I met, British Columbia was home for me. He's a New York City boy, and he tempted me away.
Yeah.
He promised that someday we'd go back.
But he never thought he'd be going back to Mosquito Island.
Yeah.
but you know, find out what the people who work on the cars are familiar with and what they're comfortable working with.
And, sure.
And if they have any spare parts laying around or whatever.
Right.
See you later.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Steven from Berkeley, California.
With a V or a PH?
A V.
I put a PH. From Berkeley.
Berkeley.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
I have a 1986 Isuzu Trooper, and I go on a camping trip with my family a couple times a year, and this year we were up in the Sierra Nevada mountains, and I had to cross this wonderful stream and to get to the other side of this granite ledge, and I, you know, put it in four-wheel low, and I go across the stream. It's about 50 feet across, 60. And just when I get to the other side, and it's the water's up just a, you know, mid-wheel level, it gets real deep real quick, and I drop down, and the water actually splashed over the hood for a second, then I popped out onto the ledge.
Ooh.
With my kids cheering behind me. And
yeah, I mean, this is exactly what the ads show.
Oh, if only the film crew had been there.
Great. I mean, just crossing the creek there was enough. Oh, man.
And I was amazed the car was still running, and water didn't come in the doors. And then I, you know, my wife, I don't know if she wanted to cheer me or kill me, but we went back. And
you had to cross the stream, Stephen? I mean...
Well, I didn't really
You didn't really. I mean, you could have gone to, like, 50 yards up the road and there was a bridge, right?
Yeah, well, no, there wasn't a bridge, but I could have probably gone... I should have probably gotten out and looked around, and I went, what the hell? What's the worst thing that could happen?
Right. It's an 86
What's
trooper.
What's the worst thing that can happen?
That's right.
I mean, I'm surprised that you lived.
Well, not because of the stream. Your wife.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you drop down, the water splashes up over the hood, and luckily you got enough traction to have the front wheels just make it onto the ledge, and up you go.
That's right.
See, women get ticked off when you endanger their children.
That's right.
Oh,
not
man.
Your children.
Yeah.
That's true.
They're her children.
They're her children, and man, they can get vicious.
Oh, I'll never forget the time, never mind.
Well, I'll tell you a time, because it happened to me just the other day. My buddy Vito called me up last week, and he says, you busy? I said, no. He says, want to go to the motorcycle store and look around? I say, pick me up. So he and his son Nico pick me up, and we drive up the street to the motorcycle store, and here's two old geezers with gray hair and this young kid. And, man, they were all over us. I mean, talk about live ones.
Oh, figured you guys had the dough.
75% of the people who drive motorcycles have gray hair and ponytails.
Right.
And the other 25% are 25-year-old kids, which is what his son is. I mean, they said, we're selling three somethings.
Right.
So we started to look, and we look around, and man, I had to sit on everything and try it out, and they gave us all the sales pitch because they knew we were live ones. I came back home, and my wife says, where you been? Yeah, well, we're up the street. We were just up the street, you know. And someone lets it leak where we were. She says, you buy a motorcycle, and I'm out of here. And I said, what do you mean? She says, because if you buy a motorcycle, you will somehow tell your son, who's 18, that it's okay to drive a motorcycle, and it isn't.
Yeah, you don't have to even use words. Just the fact that you own one.
Just the fact
that you're telling him.
Even the fact that I went to the store was enough. She said, you do that, and it's goodbye.
I'm going to miss you, hon.
I mean, how many alimonies can one guy pay?
Yeah, that's true.
In any event, she got pretty vicious because it was her son whose life I was endangering by my foolishness and stupidity.
Yes. Yeah.
Oof. So you survived that.
I survived that.
All right. Well. So anyway, you have a question? Come on, we're running out of time.
Who is this? Who are we talking to?
My question is this. I get back and tell my harrowing story to my friends and stuff. And
all the guys say, whoa, cool, man.
Cool. And then one guy says, well, you know, you might have gotten water into the transfer case and the transmission, and because there's cooling vents in there and various other places in the brakes, and it might be doing damage to your engine. And I'm like, Oh.
No, disregard that. You didn't do damage to anything.
If water could get into the transfer case, then the oil in the transfer case would be coming out all the time.
Oh.
And water can't get in there. Water can get in the brakes, but it's supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, it rains.
I mean, you drive through puddles.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Right. Yeah. The only thing you'd have to be afraid of is if you sucked water up into the engine through the intake. And if you did that, you'd have known it in a second.
Because you would have
been swimming.
You'd still be there paddling.
And it's tough. It's tough to swim when your wife is giving you dope slaps.
Yeah, you don't have anything to worry about except your wife.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
And believe me, that represents a greater danger than anything you could possibly do to the car.
But you didn't do any damage, because if you had, you'd have known it right away.
Okay.
So don't worry. All those things can survive what you did.
Okay.
Good
well,
luck, Steven.
See you, Steve.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye, you guys.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David the Cavs of Belleville Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Lake Champlain, Quiche Lorraine, Pork Chow Mein, Braised Calf's Brain, Dried Wolf Bane, Diced Romaine, Whooping Crane, Multigrain, Dry Champagne, and Candy Cane Group Weight Gain is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Tommy's memory coach is Hugh Sherlock Familia. Our Janis Joplin biographer is Ian Bobby McGee. Our retirement party planner is Louisa Jolly Goodfellow. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our staff landscaper is Alonzo Green. Our Mexican food taster is Don Juan Dos Tacos. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to his fellow convicted loiterers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't forget, don't drive like my brother.
I won't. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 928, dig into the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, or you can call the Shameless Commerce Division for Car Talk gifts at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, our list of summer driving tips.
Check them out before your summer road trip.
I have no road trips planned this summer. I have everything I need right here in our fair city. Warm weather, iced cappuccino.
Isn't your ex-mother-in-law coming to visit in August?
How far did you say the Grand Canyon was? 2,000 miles? Get me MapQuest, quick.
That's Car Talk summer driving tips.
All this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though cardiologists everywhere say, "Oh, pass the trans fat," whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.